Oh, it's so good to see everybody. And if you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. Hope that our time together is beneficial to you. We're going to continue. Well, we're really going to end our discussion of what John had to say in 1 John 5. The way John describes it, he wants us to understand three things in 1 John 5. And the three things that he wants us to understand flow from what he's been saying. So let's look at 1 John 5, and we'll begin in verse 1. John said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. Whosoever loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Whosoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but also with the water and the blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three who bear witness: the Spirit, the water, the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is this, that he hath borne witness concerning his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not makes God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed in the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. Let me read that again. He that believeth not that God hath made him. Man, I'm having a hard time reading that sentence. We'll just go on. The witness is this: God gave unto us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the boldness that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. If any man see his brother sinning a sin not unto death, and he shall ask, God will give him life for them that sin, not unto death. There is a sin unto death, not concerning that do I say that he should make request. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is begotten of God sinneth not, but he that was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one touches him not. We know that we are of God. The whole world lies in the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. My little children, guard yourself from idols. So what are the three things that John wants us to know with absolute assurance? You need to know that you have eternal life. Second, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And third, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So we're going to focus on that last goal. Know that you have the petitions that you ask of God. I must confess, there are a lot of things about God and his response to prayers that I'm sure that I don't understand. But there are some things that I think I'm aware of. I'm afraid that sometimes I have gotten to the point that what I know is that people used to have the petitions that God asked of them, that they asked of God. God becomes I was instead of I am. I'm able to forcefully discuss how God answered the prayers of Elijah. But the forcefulness that I have when I talk about Elijah's prayers evaporates when I talk about my prayers. That ought not to be. I need to be as convinced that God answers my prayers as I am convinced that God answered Elijah's prayers. Now, again, let me say, there are a lot of things that I don't understand about this. But I do know that this is an assurance that's repeated multiple times in the New Testament. Mark says it this way in Mark, the 11th chapter at verse 21, beginning. This is from the American Standard Version. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away." Remember, he was on his way to Jerusalem, saw a fig tree that should have been bearing figs, but it wasn't. He cursed it. He says, "It's withered away." Jesus answering, saith unto him, "Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it." That's a forceful statement. And I feel like I'm not ready to believe it. I sometimes feel like, yeah, God did that in the past, but I don't think he does it today. This is what Jesus concluded. "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have it." And it may be that I don't believe. Now, not believing means that I might not ask. It might also stand in the way of me having what I pray for. There are times when we do not receive what we ask of God. That, in my mind, is beyond question. And I, of course, think about Jesus praying in the garden, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He still had to go through the cross. I think about Paul's prayers concerning that messenger of Satan that he had, that he calls a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was, but let's put the emphasis where it really belongs, a messenger of Satan. He prayed about it 3 times. And he still had that messenger of Satan when it was over. And even in our own experience, we have prayed and we have not seen the answer that we had prayed for. As I reflect on all of this, that may be an indication that God heard us, acknowledged the petitions, but chose to answer in a different way. You know, we sometimes say that there are 3 ways that God answers prayers: no, wait, and I want to teach you a lesson. I think maybe we need to refrain from saying it that way and focus on the positive answer to prayer. God answers prayer. And there might be a lot of reasons why we don't receive the answer that we've prayed for. It may be that God says, "Yes, I'll answer your prayer, but I want to answer it in a better way." The answer may be, "Yes, I'll give you what you have asked for, but I'll give it to you in a way that will help you to learn a lesson that I want you to learn." The answer may be, "Yes, but you need to wait." And I am convinced, absolutely convinced, that there is a petition to which the answer will always be yes, right here, right now. I will give you what you have asked for. You know what? Knowing what kind of prayer that is comes from the context of 1 John 5. What does he talk about in 1 John 5 when he says you pray for something? Well, I'll tell you. Here's what it's about: forgiveness. There is a petition that we can ask of God that he will always grant here and now. And it's a petition for forgiveness. Now, I understand that John talks about the forgiveness of others, but I want to take it more broadly. If you ask God to forgive, he will forgive. Why is that? Because he welcomes a prodigal home. When the prodigal son returned, we're all familiar with the story. When he returned to his father ran to meet him. He didn't sit on the porch and wait for his son to get there. He ran to meet him. God wants everyone to come to repentance. And when we do, John says, rest assured, when you ask for forgiveness, God will say, yes, right here, right now. There is no question. Now, I know that there's a sin that's a sin unto death, and we'll talk about that. But I don't want to focus on the exceptions. I want to focus on the rule.